So Barack Obama, you may have heard in our earlier segment on a very bad phone line, our Turkish colleague was saying that the people in the streets of Istanbul are describing Barack Obama as their president. Certainly an emotional day in Turkey, and here's Barack Obama speaking.
Moving forward towards Turkish membership in the EU would be an important signal of your commitment to this agenda and ensure that we continue to anchor Turkey firmly in Europe.
Anchoring Turkey in Europe, Barack Obama addressing the Turkish parliament on Monday this week, yesterday. It's part of a very emotional visit by Barack Obama to Turkey, the once center of the Islamic world, but no longer. It's a secular state that is trying to get membership in the European Union. Frans Timmerman joins us now. He's in the studio. He's the Dutch minister for European affairs, and he's here in the United States on it's sort of fortuitous that you are here. But first of all, you're watching all of these pictures of Barack Obama first in Europe, taking Europe by storm, and then in Istanbul, which very much wants to be officially a part of Europe. What do you make of it?
Well, first of all, the election of Barack Obama had more attention in the Netherlands than our own election. So people are really excited about this, also in the Netherlands. And Europeans were apparently waiting for something to change in America. America's back, and we're so happy that America's back, and we want to build our future in coordination with the Americans, because only with them we can solve the big problems we're facing.
Now, it's not a new U.S. position to call for Turkish membership in the EU, but is Barack Obama making so much of this on a very public visit to Istanbul and Ankara? Does that inflame tensions within the EU or just annoy people like Sarkozy, who says, leave it to us in France?
Well, of course, it's up to the EU to decide, but at the same time, you know, just imagine the possibilities of a Turkish EU membership and Turkey becoming a full-fledged European member state. That would send a strong signal to the rest of the world, saying that you can be a Muslim state and still be a democracy, still have the rule of law, still be a full-fledged member of the EU. That would change the world, frankly.
Now, Netherlands is not an Islamic state, but you have firsthand experience with the limits of tolerance and the sort of tension between secularism and religious communities, even inside the Netherlands. Explain how the Netherlands are, in some sense, an object lesson in learning tolerance for a European nation.
Well, through the ages, it's a bit like New York. There was never a minority big enough to dominate other minorities. So we were always a state of minorities, different religions, etc. Now, recently, we've become a state with a big majority, as we see them, the Dutch, and then a new minority, the Muslims, Moroccans mainly, and Turks. And we're struggling with that because many people in the Netherlands feel threatened by this new minority, feel that they need to adapt better to Dutch society, this new minority. But at the same time, we're creating increasing successes, especially the youngest generation is bursting through in education. 1 out of 4 is going to university. And so I think our traditional system of tolerance is working.
Although there are politicians in the Netherlands who have openly called for expulsion or strict controls or mandated assimilation of Muslims. Geert Wilders, for instance, is one. How do you deal with that in an open democracy where people can share their views, even if they are hateful?
Well, the biggest problem we're facing now all across Europe is that large parts of our population do not believe in progress anymore. They think that they've reached the pinnacle and it's all downhill from here. In that context, any newcomer is seen as a threat to positions of existing communities. And we have to convince people that there is an opportunity here, that people like Barack Obama can change the world if we join him in his program. If we do that, we can get people to be more open to newcomers in society.
Has there been a backlash to the openness of and welcomingness of immigrants in the Netherlands? I'm thinking of the death of Theo van Gogh, who was a filmmaker who was very openly critical of certain ethnic communities, ran afoul of Islamists inside the country, that produced all kinds of tensions that are still resonating inside the Netherlands.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's quite clear that many people in the Netherlands, people who do not have an agenda, are still afraid of the Islam, afraid that the Islam will impose its rule on the Netherlands. And this, of course, has a political implication. People then choose for xenophobic politicians. And it is difficult for us to argue that at the end of the day, society will have to cope with newcomers and will have to allow new religions to find their way in our society.
Of course, Islam is hardly a new religion. But does the admission of Turkey into the EU inflame those tensions, or does it release those tensions?
It inflames those tensions because people have the idea that the EU has been enlarging too rapidly as it is, and that allowing a country like Turkey with more than 50 million people in would change the balance in the EU and would even lessen our span of control of what's happening in the EU. And indeed, the Islam has been in our country for centuries, but Wahhabist Islam is something completely new.
All right. I'm speaking with Frans Timmermans, who's a Dutch minister for European affairs, here in the studio. Let's talk for a moment about the reception that Barack Obama has gotten. I think we romanticize Barack Obama as a kind of Kennedy figure. I think, you know, there's a predisposition after 8 years of Bush and the frustrations of the post-9/11 era to think everything's fine now. But it does seem to me unmistakably that Europeans and people on the streets of Turkey are predisposed to some kind of serious change. Why do you think that is? And from the European perspective, let me share that, please, with you.
Yes. Well, John, this is so exciting to see that our people are reacting so clearly to President Obama. But there's two sides to this. There's one side that says this is change. America's going to change. They're going to be back on the international scene. They're going to work with us, which is positive, and that's what people are reacting to. There's another side to this that's far more difficult. This means that we can no longer hide. You know, we have to step up to the plate, we as Europeans. We can no longer blame Bush for everything and not take responsibility.
But this is a moment when America's credibility economically is probably at a nadir. This is a moment where militarily the U.S. can do relatively little, and Iraq demonstrates that. Afghanistan, who knows how that will turn out, but some here in the United States have called that Barack Obama's potential Vietnam. How can Barack Obama be such a change agent at a moment of American challenges?
You know, what excites people is that we're back on the page of values. We're talking about values now, and we have discredited our own values in the last 8 years. Guantanamo Bay has taken away our own values, has made us look at ourselves in a dark light. And I think what really excites us now is that Barack Obama is prepared to go back to fundamental values and start from there. That's why we're so optimistic. That's why we really want to be part of this new era.
And so when Barack Obama says we have to bring Turkey into the EU, unlike George W. Bush, he's not lecturing to Europeans?
Well, he will be seen, certainly in some countries, as lecturing to the Europeans. And at the end of the day, it's the Europeans themselves who have to decide on this. But I think it is important that he joins his voice in this discussion, because he can tell us as well how importantly internationally, how important for the international relations Turkish EU membership would be, the strong signal it would send to the Muslim world.
So finally, I want to talk about this for a bit, because a couple of my favorite books are on the Dutch heritage here in the United States. Simon Schama's Embarrassment of Riches, which is all about how the Dutch people almost accidentally, culturally stumbled into this incredible wealth of mercantile capitalism centuries ago, and how that was part of the founding of Manhattan. Here in New York, a tradition of mercantile capitalism and tolerance that we retain today. Do you see that Dutch heritage in America's financial troubles? We almost destroyed Wall Street, something the Dutch created in a way.
Well, you know, that financial capitalism can deteriorate into greed. And we saw it in the 17th century in the Netherlands as well. You had the tulip bulb trade, which actually was exactly the same thing that happened now on Wall Street.
One of the most famous financial bubbles of all time.
Absolutely. You know, one tulip bulb was worth more than a huge house on an Amsterdam canal. Exactly the same thing happened in the financial markets then. So,
any tulips in your portfolio today?
No tulips in my portfolio. But, you know, again here, we're back at the issue of values. If you do not base what you do on your moral standards and on values, this is what will happen every time again. This, when you say that greed is good, like Gordon Gekko, that's when things go wrong. And we did this at some point in the 17th century. It happened again in the last couple of years. So we need to go back to our basic values.
Does Europe lead in that, or is that an American leadership role? And what do we make of the Chinese, who are actually lending money to everyone at this point?
I think the only way we can create leadership is by having a transatlantic bond on this. I think Europe and the U.S. can lead on this together. Jointly, we can really change things. On our own, we will certainly not be in a position to change things. So I think if we rekindle this fundamental value of democracy, the rule of law, of respecting people's choices, of giving people opportunity. I think this should be the basis of our new world.
What is the message from you and the Dutch government to the most irredentist, perhaps fearful Dutch citizen about the emergence of Islam in a Europe with Turkey as a full member of the EU?
Well, my message would be, look in our past, look at what we've achieved through the ages by being open towards everything that is different, by being open to newcomers, by being a safe haven in the 17th century for all those who were persecuted in the rest of Europe. That is how my country came into being. That is how my country was strongest ever in history, and that is how my country will build its future again.
And, of course, you've kept the water at bay, too.
Absolutely, and so, this is something we want to share with New York, because it's great to live on the water's edge.
Yeah, and in time of climate change, that's a skill that's pretty useful.
Absolutely.
A hell of a job there in the Netherlands. Frans Timmermans, Dutch Minister for European Affairs. Frans Timmermans is here in the studio. He's on a trip here in the United States.
To celebrate New York 400, that's what we're doing.
That's right, and which the Dutch can take full responsibility for that.
Absolutely.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.